He says, seek me while I may still be found. Seek me while I'm near. Wow. And his word there really jumps out at me this morning. It says in verse 8, says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. You know? It kind of goes back to how we always got things figured out, the way things should go, and they don't always go that way, does it? And, you know, this morning when you all was coming into the church, was anybody in a hurry to get here? Anybody run late? Yeah. Benny? Okay. There's a deputy outside waiting to see you now. I get excited every day, but like Sunday mornings coming in here to see you all worship God together. But I tell you one thing I enjoy just as much is the ride in. This morning I came in the back roads. I come back past turkeys and all kind of stuff, you know, just praising the Lord. I had my Michael W. Smith CD on, Surrounded, How Do I Fight My Battles, you know. It's just awesome. And God just wants to remind us this morning to worship Him where you're at. And as we follow Him, trust in Him. So His ways might not seem to be our ways, and the things that we want done today, well, might not be done until next week or the week after. As we trust God, trust Him in everything. Now, I know you might be disappointed today, but man, I want to have this done right now. I want to be here by now. Well, a couple of things. Number one is, if whatever you wanted was accomplished today, outside of the will of God, would you want it? No, you wouldn't, even though you want it real bad. And so, I shared before that we have to wait for God to line some things up for us, because if we get there without Him having everything lined up for us, then it falls down. You know, we get there too early. It's like you're anxious to move into a new house that you're building, and as soon as you get the stairway up to upstairs, you run up there and step off, and you find out there's no floor yet. So you're excited. We should have waited for a while, right? It wasn't quite ready yet. And the other thing on my heart this morning is, wherever you're at, now if you're waiting for this, well, wherever you're at right now, remember, God might not be done with you there yet. Today, He might be building you up in a certain area to prepare you for when you get where you want to go. And so we could just lay back, man, I am so sick and tired of waiting. And we could sit down in the easy chair, put our feet up, grab the remote and say, all right, I'm going to wait right here until this happens. But then we're missing the point, because when this happens, we're not ready for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm picking on Chuck this morning. If I had a wrestling match on Friday night with Chuck, I wouldn't sit down on Sunday and wait till Friday. No, I'd be trying to figure out how to wrestle. You know what I'm saying? I'd be preparing myself. And then I would call in sick. I'm not stupid, guys. You know what I'm saying? Or Renaud. Renaud is excellent. Renaud lettered in wrestling in Coshocton High School. Amazing. Yep. But see, sometimes we think, okay, I don't know what's going on. We get upset with God. Sometimes we say, man, I don't understand you, Lord. Two things takes place. If something isn't taking place like I've been praying for, I search myself. Number one, what I want, is it the best? Is it greedy on my part? And if it's not, then God, do I want it for the right motives? Yeah, I just check myself. Then if I know that I'm following the Lord, and I trust Him, and He says, ask whatever you want and you'll receive. I trust Him that when the time is ready, I'll have that. And what we don't want to do is just sit down where we're at and say, okay, I'm waiting. I'm not doing one more thing, you know. And the purpose that you're waiting is, God isn't done with us yet. He's using us at that point for people who is around us, or He's using people around us to build us up for what we receive, what we get. I imagine everyone here at one time was probably a teenager. Okay. Or teenagers back there, you know. 16 years old, I had my son, I won't mention his name, but he's my middle son, wanted a Camaro. And I'm telling you what, he came across a really good deal for one. Man, I almost bought it for myself. But the insurance, number one, would be twice as much as we paid for the car. And the second thing was, he wasn't ready for a Camaro yet. I mean, imagine a 16-year-old behind the, well, I guess I can't talk much. I was behind the 428, but he wasn't ready. He had to learn how to drive. And then he graduated, he was ready for that Camaro. And then he never did get the Camaro. He's wasn't everything that he purchased. You know, okay, what's the best thing to go? Well, same with us. What you might, what you're looking for, what you want, what you're standing on is awesome, but God has to prepare you for it before he puts you in that, because it might go out of control. Anybody want to ride a horse? Anybody wants to ride a horse? Well, I tried riding a horse one time, about 2 seconds, okay? I found out a horse did not like to be rode. So, if I was smart, I would have waited until somebody broke the horse first. But now I can ride that, you know. Yeah, that's what beer does to you. Yeah, that's no good. But it's just trusting God when we follow him. Okay, God, I know your timing is perfect. And I know this is what I need. And I just buy my needs. This is what I want. I know you make my wants come through. But while I'm here, how can I serve others? And sometimes the folks who are around you right now are the ones that's holding that blessing that God's going to use to bless you with. That one right now that around that you can't stand might be the one that's going to encourage you later on. But the thing is, he wants us to remember, when he says that his ways aren't our ways, I mean, our cardinal in the flesh, how we want to handle things, aren't necessarily his ways. His ways are a lot more greater than ours. And we got to recognize that, you know, we step out of our flesh into the spirit realm, and that's where we do our fighting anymore. I mean, that's where we're used to doing things hands-on, duking it out. But the battle that we're fighting, and everything that I think Penny mentioned earlier, every time we get closer to the Lord, it's like the devil comes more, because it's a spiritual fight. And we fight that in the spirit realm by his word and his ways. And to understand that his ways are not our ways, but as we hear the word of God and his spirit in us as born again Christian, his ways become our ways, because what? We start thinking like him. How many of us want to think like the Lord? How many of us want to act like the Lord? Amen. So when his ways aren't our ways necessarily, then when he starts talking about his ways, and we want to embrace that, we want to, okay, God, I want your ways. He sees tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day. He sees the number of days that he has ordained for you. As we follow him, we will live out every day that he has for us. Amen? He will. In Matthew 24, I'm going to touch a couple of bases and a couple of scriptures here that I think you're all probably familiar with, but just a reminder. I got too many. In Matthew 24, I'm going to go with the sixth chapter there. When you get used to using electronic Bibles and step into the paper one, you find out why you use electronic, because all your bookmarks fall out at the same time. There's still this sound here. Hearing the papers turn is still awesome, I think, you know? Yeah, Matthew 24, verse 4, I'll start with. It says, "And Jesus said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But for all these things, they are merely the beginning of birth pains." So, we have shared that many times. Y'all, when you talk about the signs of the coming of the Lord, then we all turn to this. Amen. And then in Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 8, here I want to start at. He says, "See to it that you are not misled," he's quoting Jesus, "for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be a great earthquakes, and in various places there will be plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from the heavens." Stop there. Now, the Master not scaring us, but he's telling us ahead of time, these things will take place before the coming of the Lord. Okay? Now, and we all look at these things, and we've talked about many times, but today, right now, look at the tension of wars trying to build up against the United States. We got China now telling our Mr. Biden that he needs to apologize to them for his comments. We got Iran now, they want to blow us off the face of the earth. They're coming against Israel. All that. I mean, these are the things that he says that be taking place. But the thing that jumps out here today, and from other prophets we've been talking to, it talks about the plagues. Again, just to let you know, on the plague area, we haven't seen nothing yet. This COVID-19, that's nothing. I mean, plagues are coming, and they'll be very, very severe. The pestilence and stuff will take place. But that's where we have to understand our God. That's where we have to understand, as a child of God, where we'll stand that. Because it will be, I believe, as a time of Goshen. Meaning that when the plagues came upon the Egyptians, when they had the boils over their bodies and stuff, man, not one child of God, if I put it that way, not one Israelite was afflicted with that plague. And now, what did that cause to happen? It caused a lot of people to look, man, look at this. We're doing what our emperor says. And look at them guys. Man, look at that complexion they have. They must use Olay or whatever, okay? That alone will draw people to the child of God. Remember, all this stuff with his signs, isn't that God wanted these things to take place, but he knew in the end times, he says, you know, man's heart will grow cold. I'll get back to that in a second. Unless people are honoring God. And remember, this land was cursed. Remember? Back in the garden? Okay, he redeemed that. But God's hand, for the Spirit of God living in it, has kept this stuff away from us. It's held back. But look what's taking place. Look at other countries. Look at places now where there's a lot of false religions. Look how terrible they are. Wiped out. Desolence. Okay? Well, here in America, I mean, there is less people honoring God. And when we do that, we start pushing his hands back. God, get out of here. How many places God's not allowed to go anymore? Well, them same hands that we push back is also protecting us. So these things will take place because there's nothing restraining it anymore. But all that is to use for God's glory for those who will repent and turn back to him. Remember, most people, they could be flat on their back, have nothing, before their eyes turn to the Lord. I mean, God blesses all of us. I mean, amen. He loves us. We can't understand his unconditional love he has for us, and why he blessed me so much over my lifetime when I deserved none of it. I still don't deserve none of it. How many times did he give me stuff? I just took it, oh yeah, yep, he said he would. He didn't give that to me because who I was. Number one, he gave it to me because of the love he has for me. Number two, he gave it to me because I was covered because my wife was a follower of the Master. I mean, her salvation covered the household. Isn't that powerful? Now, that don't mean that her salvation gave me salvation. No. It's kind of, let me say it this way. God gave her the bank account and I just spent the money. Okay? But that's how blessed I was. And I could say, man, look at me. I can look at all my blessings I've got, man, and think I'm but I'm perfect. I used to think that, you know? Not in a big obnoxious way, but I don't need, I got God because I believe He's there. And look at my blessing that I have. I recognize the blessing came to me because of others, not me. And sometimes the goodness of the Lord, it draws you to Him. God, I'm not worthy of this. How can you give this to me? Oh, my lands. And that's how a lot of people come to know Jesus Christ, through the blessings. But then also folks will come to Him that no matter how much they are blessed, they want nothing to do with God. So what happens? Everything is removed because God desires what? No man would perish. So kind of done both ways. Raising your kids. Here's $20 a week for allowance. Yay, okay. But they go out there and you get in trouble with it. So what do? You take it away. Why? Because you don't want them to be in trouble, do you? So it goes both ways. And finally they realize, oh, man, I really blew it, Dad. You go back and give them $10. Kind of meets you in the middle there. You know what I'm saying? Get change? So our mind focus needs to be that what we'll go through for God's glory and the redemption of others, that we can go through that. But in the scripture it says, man's heart will grow cold. Now, I've said that many times. How many people can see that men's hearts are growing cold? And ladies, mankind. Amen? But he's talking to the church. The world's already got a cold heart to God. He's talking to us. And what are we growing cold to? Oh, no, you give me this, you give me that. Our heart's growing cold to the ways of God. That's what he's talking about. Men's heart to grow cold to the ways of God, to His Word. To be obedient. To follow Him. I mean, we can get together here, have a great party, have a great lot of fun. I love having fun. But if we don't honor God in our lives, honor His Word, we're fooling ourselves. Amen? Honor Him. My heart, I mean, I pray all the time, God, don't let my heart grow cold, you know? And I have that desire, don't ever let my heart grow cold in Your ways and the ways of to help people. I don't ever want to get displaced. I don't ever want to look at His Word. I don't want to ever read His Word and have it not speak to me. I want my ears to be, my spiritual ears to be open. But I don't want to be so arrogant when I read something. Yep, that's for the second pew. Yeah, that's the third pew. Oh, that's the fifth pew back here. And not look at it for myself. Yeah, fifth pews were stuck at it. Okay. So we have to watch ourselves that our hearts don't grow cool. Otherwise, we're going to walk around in a lot of false thinking that everything is right between me and God because look how blessed I am. I mean, was everything right with Job and God? Yeah. Job didn't do nothing against God. No, I'm sorry, Jim. Yeah, I wasn't trying to trick you there, okay? So, we don't base our relationship with God on how much we have material-wise. It's our relationship with Him. But we can allow our hearts to grow cold because we can start compromising just a little bit His Word. Stretching the truth, some people call it. It's called lying. That's his fancy name for it. And next thing you know, when the Word of God tries to speak to us, that small, clear voice, still voice, we can't hear it because we covered up with a bunch of stuff that we know at the beginning it shouldn't be in our life. But man, if we remove that stuff from our life, oh man, our life would change too much, wouldn't it? It could. Don't shake your head. Don't get past me today. But that's the power behind the gospel. That's the power behind the Word of God. That is active and sharp. Sharper than a two-edged sword. And we listen to that Word of God. It will penetrate into us. Clear to the marrow of our bones. That's where our life is. And change us. So that should be, okay, God, Your ways aren't my ways. Show me Your ways. I want to understand Your ways. And He says, okay, some of the heads up stuff here that you haven't seen anything yet, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you for my glory. You're going to stand in the presence of ugliness, and you'll be that light shining in darkness. But you'll be the one that will shine my light into the darkness of this world today. But first, make sure we have that light shining in us. Amen? More of Him. And folks, I mean, the Bible even talks about folks will be falling away from sound teaching. People will be moving away from the Word of God because they don't want to be convicted. They don't want to listen to all this stuff. But they'd rather just shut the door and live in a life thinking of God but not truly knowing God. Man, that's too weird down there. Over there. But I take you right back to the scripture in Mark. He says, these are the signs of those who what? Who believe. And what are the signs? Can anybody tell me? What are the signs of a believer? Yep, he said, you'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues, drink any poisons, you won't be sick, handle snakes, it won't harm you, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hello? Are we the church? But we didn't know that? What? Stump for a moment. Amen. Well, see, iron sharpens iron, you know. But that is our arm set, is it, man? For those who believe, these will be the signs, man, they'll follow them. They will cast out demons. Why? Because it's a spiritual warfare. Amen. And by serving me, if you happen to pick up a snake, otherwise, if you handle a serpent, and that could be evil people even. And we saw Brother Paul, he was helping his enemies, who had him captive, build a fire on the island of Paphos. Is that right? No, Malta. Paphos was John. Okay. And while he's building a fire when the ship got wrecked, he bent down and picked up some wood, and a poisonous viper hung off it, bit him. Should have been dead in 30 minutes. He shook it off. That whole island, man, had a revival. Man, he must be honoring the real God. Wow. Now, he could have took an attitude, sat back here on the corner, hey, I'm your prisoner. You build me a fire. Hey, I got rights. Hey, listen, right here, you got to give me so much water every day. He could have demanded all this stuff. But love thy neighbor. Love thy enemy. Amen? That's what he did. Okay, why? Because he's serving Jesus. He wasn't sent back demanding his rights. I want this, I want... No. Hey, listen, I'm blood-bought. Born again. Christ died for me. I don't live for myself, I live for Him. How can I bring glory on the shipwreck? How can I bring glory to my captives? I mean, they expect the enemies to hate Him. They expect the those who got incarcerated to just want to tear their guts out and rip out their hearts. And there was Paul. Hey, you want a cheeseburger? I need some wood. I'll get it, guys. Serving Jesus. So as we serve Him and we follow Him, we don't have to worry about anything coming against us to wipe us out. Because not one of us here will leave this earth before the mission God's given us is completed. And we're serving Him. Now, Paul could have done this. He said, ha. Yeah, you guys, you got to feed me. That's my right. I'm a prisoner. I'm going to sit back here on this log while you feed me. Oh, it's like that. Boom! Fall off a 200-foot cliff and be killed. Now, he'd still be in heaven. Understand? I believe that. But he didn't accomplish what God wanted him to accomplish. Amen? So we got to make sure we have the same attitude. Okay, God, I'm yours. Oh, wow. Because there'll be other plagues coming this way. I mean, this one here, I still don't understand all of it yet, okay? But praise God, people recover from this thing. But see, we're still looking towards the science, right? What happens when the science doesn't work anymore? Because even behind the science, and folks, we have some fantastic medicines out there, amen? God is behind that science. But nothing was still God's glory. So if you take medicine every day, praise God that you have it. Amen? I mean, seriously, when I take my medicine, when I have to take medicine, it's over the lips and down the tongue because of Jesus Christ, my healing has begun. I'll say, every good gift is from the Father of Lights. I give Him the glory. Thank you, God, for the wisdom of my doctor. Thank you, God, for the wisdom you gave that surgeon. Because you know the devil wants to take me out. But in the hands of God, anything placed in the hands of God, I think someone said it earlier, God takes what's meant for evil and turn it around for good. As we follow Him and lift Him up and just do what He tells us to do. So these plagues that will be coming forth here in the near future, okay, it's not so scary. He told you in advance. How do we survive? My ways are not your ways, said the Father. Yes. So what He tells us to do, might think, oh, I don't seem like quite right to me. He's saying, okay, listen. I live in you, so I need you to do this, so do that. And again, it goes back, we say on Friday night, the Spirit of the Lord will lead you. If you know His voice, if you feel the Holy Spirit, He will lead you in exactly what you want to do. Bonnie asked a great question Friday night, and it really started a great conversation, you know. How far do you go? I mean, if should you witness to your neighbors? How far should you go? Otherwise, how many times do you keep telling people about Jesus? And what does God hold you accountable? And what He says is this. Well, He wants you to forgive 7 times 70. But when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to say, I want you to witness today to Bonnie. And I go to Bonnie and say, hey, you know, I love you, Bonnie. Man, but I'm going to tell you something. What you're doing right here is, in the eyes of God, is sin. And I've been there. I've been there. Come on. I had the t-shirt and the hat and had the coat on layaway. But now I just want to share. You guys want me to share with you this morning that, man, if you stay in that sin, you'll be separated from God for eternity. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. And Bonnie looks at me and says, get out of here. Okay, well, Bonnie, okay, but I don't let you know that if you ever got a question, get out of here. I shared with her. Okay? And what I shared, was that not the truth? Okay? Was it the Holy Spirit within me that led me to say that? So I know the seeds were planted in Bonnie. So, done. Now, the Holy Spirit will continue to work with Bonnie. What Bonnie does with it, that's up to her. But it could be 6 months from now, she might come to me and say, what are you trying to tell me again, Stark? Okay? Yeah, thank you, Lord. I didn't just plant the seed, and you watered it for me. Now I get to help bring some of the harvest in. Okay? But when the Holy Spirit moves upon us to do something, let's say witness someone, when He moves upon you, and I can't say enough, He wants us to witness to everybody, right? But the timing has to be correct. Amen. I understand. Okay. Now I want the whole world to come to know Jesus. I can stand here in the court square today. Hey, Jesus loves you. You repent from your sins. Oh, He's coming back. Now, if God called me to do that, I would be out there. But you know how many doors would be closed that quickly if God hadn't called me to do that? Chances are I'd be witnessing in jail tonight. If God called me to do that, I would be in that. But He knows the conditions of folks. And some folks, we said before, you know, Chuck and Marty would be out there for too long. They're going to grow some corn, okay? But they're going to have to plow first, and then disc, and then seed, then fertilize, and a bunch of things, you know? If Chuck says, hey, Marty, we're going to start planting today, and she gets up the corn picker, let's go get it. wait, Marty is not ready to pick corn yet. We haven't plowed the ground, we haven't sowed the seed, we haven't put the fertilizer in, we haven't done all this kind of stuff. Wow. Okay, see how that works? Same way, when God moves upon us and says, okay, Starkey, this person is ready to be saved. Now, I shared about Bill Hopkins' sister. Remember? Anybody remember? Went down there, never met her in my life. I said, God's got a message for you. He loves you, but I'm telling you what, without God, you won't know Him, and when you die, you won't be for eternity. Like God said, and she was an atheist. And I sat there for 20 minutes. The power of God came in there. she gave her life to Jesus. I mean, Jesus, the Lord was awesome. See, the timing had to be right. He woke me up 4 o'clock in the morning and told me to go see this lady at 8:30 in the morning. And it's just amazing. If I went down there on my own, chances are back then, I mean, she's in heaven today, praise God. She probably cussed me out and threw her bedpan at me, you know? But it was moving of the Holy Spirit. The time was right. And so, but he calls us to do that. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when he says, okay, I want you to witness this person. Just make sure that he's leading you. And our lives should be a life that reflects Jesus in all that we do. If I went to Bonnie's Right Tower or something, hey Bonnie, your God says this is sin, and we're witness to him, pour my heart out, and she says, oh yes, well, thank you, sir. But doesn't it say also, and she pointed right at me, a sin that I'm living in? Woo! Well, Bonnie, I like to practice what I preach. If I preach against sin, I need to sin. No, see? Again, his ways aren't our ways. Back to that topic again. In Isaiah 55. I showed that earlier. Isaiah 58:6. That's what I said, I think. My bookmark came out. Yeah, 58:6. The way you continue to look at us about is about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. I know it's that's where my heart is heavy at this time of the year. Is he wants to empower his church and the art of prayer and fasting. That used to be a lifestyle for the church. And we need to get back to that. And a lot of folks don't understand prayer and fasting. Don't understand fasting, what it does. And all I can do is show you what happens in the scriptures. And in fasting, folks, there's so many different types of fast. I mean, here lately I've been sharing with you every Wednesday I've been fasting. During Wednesday for various things. I've offered to fast for anything that you've had issues with. And I haven't had any response yet on that. But this week I'll be fasting on Wednesday. I'm going to fast for our nation and our children. It's not the physical that we fight. Folks, we can go in the physical and destroy an army, but there's an army coming right behind it. It's the evilness behind it. The only way it can be broken is through the spiritual realm. People either have their hearts changed or they have to be removed, but done spiritually for God's glory. And so this Wednesday again, I fast in the morning till evening. I'll have my juice in the morning, but I choose to fast no lunch, and I wait till 6 o'clock. Then when I eat, I'll have I call it a Daniel fast in the evening. It has to be healthy food. I encourage you just to start somewhere. Because it'll draw you closer to the Lord. You get better answers. You have to make a decision. You're not sure what to do. As you fast and seek the Lord in prayer, He'll give you insight. He'll help answer questions. Through prayer and fasting, you'll be able to help tear down the stronghold that holds you. You're trying to break an addiction? You got something you just can't get out of your life? You'll break it through prayer and fasting. You'll do that. How bad do you want it? I mean, God's there to help you. I mean, we all want things to be taken away from us like that, right? You're going on a diet, next day you're going to lose 30 pounds right then, right? You don't want to go through the agony of belly growling and stuff like that. Well, belly growling will take place through prayer and fasting because your physical is going to reject you. Ah, come on, feed me. But inside that small, clear, still voice is saying, Come closer to me. And as your body is restricted from food intake, your spirit becomes more sensitive. And when you start reading the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is the one that penned that scripture. So Holy Spirit, now that you're becoming more sensitive to, that you get understanding of the scriptures. And so if you ever ask somebody, hey, some way you see wrong in my life, what do I do wrong? Okay? Now, he's my son, but he's a man of God. And if I ask him that, I would expect him to answer to me as a man of God and not my son thinking about his inheritance. Okay? Same way, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, Carol, I mean, do I love you like you want to be loved? I mean, I show my affection through money and buying stuff. I'm not much of a, okay? Honestly, show me. So go to God through prayer and fast. God, do I love you like you want to be loved? Do I really put you first? Show me myself. Show me if I'm ugly inside, God. I want to honor you in all that I do. I want to honor you. And man, through prayer and fasting, it's awesome because there'll be a lot of things you're going to say, man, you're doing awesome. Sometimes we think it's always negative prayer and fasting, but no, God, show me our relationship. You know, any healthy relationship has discussions, right? And through a healthy relationship, you can pull out the good in people and also the weaknesses in people. And that way you can grow. That's the same way with God. He wants us to grow, and that should be our desire. Is that why you're here? You want to grow in the Lord? You want more of Him? Honor Him? Woo-hoo! You want to be all that you can be for Him? Through prayer and fasting. It says here in Isaiah 58, 6. Hang on a second. Yes, sir, 6. God said, is this not the fast which I chose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become the midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you'll be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose water do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Wow. Amen. I mean, isn't that exciting? But the very first part of it, is it not the fast I've chosen to loose the bounds of wickedness and take the yokes off? I mean, what is it you've been carrying around? You just can't get off your shoulders. And you just get so heavy with it. It's maybe things in your past, we've shared that before, and you just can't overcome. Prayer and fast will set you free. The wickedness. Oh, I keep thinking this way all the time. Prayer and fasting is designed to break that chain around you. Break that chain around you. There's nothing impossible with our God. With His Word and His Spirit and our desire, there's nothing that God cannot do in our lives. But we have to understand them. How can I pass up a hot dog and do this? Because God said, God knows you better than you know yourself. You ever eat so much you just can't move? And you're just like, you want to sleep, right? Okay. But when you don't eat, you're more alert. Who eats turkey on Thanksgiving? Most people. Who's asleep a half hour after you eat turkey? There's that thing inside, Carol would tell me, something inside of a turkey, some type of protein or whatever, it puts you to sleep. I mean, it's just, I wish I could remember what it is. Of tea? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. So, if you got to drive home, four-hour drive after Thanksgiving dinner, you make sure you don't eat the turkey before you take off driving, right? So if you want to have time with the Lord, you really got something on your heart and your spirit, and you want to honor Him and worship Him. Oh, but yeah, I'm not going to eat right now. I need to get this answer. But Lord, what do you want to do? Man, he ain't answered me yet. All right, Belly, you didn't have lunch today. We're not having supper tonight either. I'm going to start growling, complaining at you. But you know what's happening? Your spirit is becoming more and more awake. Man. And pretty soon that really small, still voice is really a loud voice, but your belly's been covering it up. Amen? And it'll start speaking to you. It starts telling you things that, man, you won't even be able to believe. But it starts setting free. Because a lot of times, if you're addicted to something, you say, man, I can't stop it. And you're right, you can't. But the Lord can. And you're going to realize that's a lie from the devil when he says that, no, you can't stop it. I don't care whether it's drinking, smoking, drugs, porno, shopping, lying, stealing, cheating, whatever it is. He's a liar. Understand that. You're a child of God. The Spirit of God living in you. He wants to set you free from it. And you want to be set free. How guilty do you feel every time you do that? God still loves you. Amen. He hasn't turned his back on you. Your sin's under the blood. And you might do good for a couple more weeks and you fall again, okay? But it's time to get rid of that. And we'll do it through prayer and fasting, man. He'll just come so much alive to us. And His Word will. But as we fast and stuff, He explains all the things that we continue to do. And that's feed the poor, watch out for one another. All these things come together. He said, well, you call upon me and I will hear you. Two more scriptures yet this morning. Jeremiah 29:14. I'm going to start with verse 11, tie it all in down to 14. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you to exile. So, he said, you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. With everything, if you want me, God says, okay, I want you to find me. Now, He's with you. But to find His ways is our step. And how do we do that? Studying the Scripture and through your fasting and prayer, reading the Scripture, let them come alive to you. God, I want more of you. I want to understand you. No one here understands God completely. I can't get past His love for me. But I want to know Him as intimately as I can. And that takes place by being in His presence. This morning when you praise and worship, and His presence is worshiping Him truly from the heart, not singing songs. We were worshiping the Lord for who He is, what He's done. I mean, it's amazing. I want to know more of you, God. Why? Because when I get to know God more, I'm going to have more of God's heart. If I have more of God's heart, I'll have more of God's ways. And when He says His ways and my ways aren't the same, He's going to change my ways to His ways. That way I can be the tool in His hand in the days I'm living in. Because, folks, it's not about us. That's hard to get past, right? I mean, we love being blessed. But I'm saying, our desire is God's ways in this world, because our time is so short. Our time on planet Earth, if you live to be 110 years old, is still awful short. And it's about Him. And folks, when we follow the Lord, when we're obedient to Him, on earth people might not see it. We might not get one iota from anybody. But I'm telling you what, in heaven, this stores up a treasure for us that's unimaginable. For being obedient and loving your enemy, loving thy neighbor, but loving God the most. He says, seek me. When you seek me with all your heart, And you know, if you have a habit of reading your Bible 10 minutes in the morning, awesome. That's awesome. But let's try to get 20 minutes. Maybe 10 minutes tonight. And then 25 minutes. As we seek Him more, when we shut that TV, oh man, I can't believe it. The Browns are playing the Steelers for the Super Bowl. Okay, I'll record that one, okay? But seriously, you know, if it's 2 o'clock and they're going to kick off and play, and I've already decided I'm going to spend time with God, record that thing. I'm spending my time with God, putting Him first in everything. And you're going to discover Him more. You're going to be more powerful. Your eyes are going to see things the way God sees. You're going to see your life lining up with the Word of God. All this stuff that the devil has been using to stop you from committing your life to the Lord 100% is going to be removed. You're going to see His lies before you even hear His lies. You're going to understand His ways. And His ways are not God's ways. Understand that. If God says our ways aren't His ways, then whose ways are ours? That makes sense. If they're not God's way, they have to be what? The devil. Either we are children of the light or we're children of darkness. There's no in between. And through this word and through your prayer and fasting, you'll get a great understanding who God truly is. And that's what you want. That's what you hear. God, Pastor, I want more of God in my life. How do I get it? How do I get, well, man, this way, man, just commit your life to the Lord and the Scriptures and study and pray and fast them, you know, love your neighbor, love your enemy. Yeah, but is there anything else? I mean, what else is there? You know? What else is there? And the last Scripture I want to take you with is James chapter 4. James chapter 4. It's in the New Testament. I got verse 7 here where I'm starting. 7 to 10. And verse 6, he says, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, and you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks against the law and the judges. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Otherwise, don't fight among yourselves. We should be here to lift up one another. But the key here, he says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. And that's where fasting comes in. Fasting calls you to humble yourself before God. Again, several different types of fasting. Your fasting might be, we call it a Daniel fast, but this week I'm only going to eat healthy food, vegetables, fish, grape juice. It could be tomorrow you're going to have a fast, you're not going to eat dinner tomorrow, lunch tomorrow. God, I'm going to honor you. I'm humble myself today. I'm going to pass up my lunch tomorrow, Lord. I'm just going to worship you and praise you. I'm going to study the Scriptures. Then myself, when I do a daily fast, I fast till 6. And normally by 5 o'clock, my belly's now, come on. You know, the old saying, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Hey, it's 6 o'clock somewhere, right? But the devil knows, I believe, number one, that the time when I get closest to the depletion of the fast is the more I'm sensitive and alert to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. And that's when I go in prayer. If I'm praying for someone, if I'm stepped into intercession, that's where it's most powerful revelation, when I study the Word of God. If I'm seeking guidance for the church, it's during them final minutes. You you fast dessert this coming week. And you don't fast because you went on a diet. It's truly you want to restrict the intake. You want to honor God. That's the thing. Humble yourself. Honor God. And then we'll talk more about it next week. But all kind of different fasts you can do out there. Some folks say, well, I can't fast because I got to have a certain amount of carbs or whatever in my body. Get that list out and mark off the stuff that you like and eat the stuff you don't like. Amen. That's fasting, giving up things. But seek the Lord more and more. Again, this Wednesday, I'll be in fasting. We're fasting for our nation. And in that fast, I'm praying for the for these laws that are coming about, that's coming out to our children, be nullified and removed. I'm praying for our children's children, but this nation, I'm not giving up. But the battle we are fighting is a spiritual realm. And as you draw the line, sure, as we talked about earlier, Satan might raise a standard against you, but I say it like a flood, the Holy Spirit will come in and conquer the evil one. Don't be afraid. You already got the victory. You just got to stay with it. Don't quit fighting today, because the mark of the victory day. Amen? Amen.